T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Celebrate Fall Car Care Month at Pep Boys and get quality tires with good traction.
Now at Pep Boys, buy 3 Kumho KU22 tires, get the 4th free, and $50 back by manufacturer mail-in rebate. Plus, get a $50 Visa card by mail when you open a new Pep Boys credit card now through October 20th. 4 tire installation required. Credit card subject to credit approval. See restrictions at pepboys.com. Visit your Pep Boys service and tire center today.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's radio.com cash time. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
Okay, you got a chance to win 1,000 bucks right now on our radio.com cash contest. Text the word SPIRIT, S-P-I-R-I-T. Text SPIRIT to the number 72881 now for your chance to win 1,000 bucks. We're going to be doing this for the next couple of weeks, so you got plenty of time right now to text the word SPIRIT, S-P-I-R-I-T, to 72881 for your chance to win a grand with 92.9. Your next chance is 9 a.m. tomorrow morning before the Jeff Calkins Show. But right now, text SPIRIT to 72881 for your chance to win 1,000 bucks. Good luck.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding
rings. And I hope if you're a baseball fan, and even if you're not, you ought to be able to appreciate what's on tap. Because we've got 3 game fives happening in about the next 26 hours or so. First one about to start. SunTrust Park in Cumberland, Georgia. Braves Cardinals. NLDS. Winner advances. NLCS. Losers done. After that, Nationals Dodgers from Dodger Stadium. Winner advances. NLCS. Loser is done. And then tomorrow night, Rays Astros down at Minute Maid Park. Winner advances to the ALCS. To play the Yankees, loser is done. Should be a fun couple days in baseball. And the Atlanta Braves are doing something unusual for Game 5 this afternoon. What is it? I'll tell you in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Jason Lockham, 4 is a Radio.com NFL insider, and my colleague at CBS Sports. We'll talk NFL with him, including the disaster that seems to be the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield and that offensive line and perhaps also the first-time head coach. Things not going well in Cleveland. Things not going well lately for Dak Prescott. Jason Lockham Ford will be with me in about 20 minutes. I'll discuss both those things and other things with him. When I finish that, I'll do 4 notable stories, 444, at which point I'm going to discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Ja Morant showed more flash of the brilliance last night, looked great in spots. R.J. Hampton, not so much. Perhaps shouldn't be surprising, but still, not so much. We'll get into that around 4:44. Rihanna has confirmed she turned down the opportunity to perform at last season's Super Bowl out of respect for Colin Kaepernick. Interesting comments in a Vogue cover story. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. More national attention for the University of Memphis men's basketball program is on the way. ESPN's Jay Billis is in town working on a piece for Penny Hardaway. Get into that just before 5 o'clock. And former Today Show host Matt Lauer has been accused of rape, not sexual misconduct, but rape by a former NBC employee. One interesting aspect to that story I wanted to note. I'll do that during Four Notable Stories 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the National League playoffs. About to get underway. Incredible doubleheader on tap. It is Cardinals-Braves, Game 5. It just now started. Winner advances to the NLCS. Loser is done. It's Jack Flaherty against Mike Fultonevich. And then at 7:37, Game 5 Nationals-Dodgers from Dodger Stadium. Winner advances to the NLCS to play the winner of this Cardinals-Braves game. Loser is done. That'll be Steven Strasburg against Walker Buehler. And then tomorrow night, we will get a Game 5 in the American League playoffs. Rays and Astros with Gerrit Cole on the mound for Houston against what is a terrific Major League Baseball story, the Tampa Bay Rays. Smallest payroll in Major League Baseball, lowest attendance in Major League Baseball, and yet they won 96 games in the regular season in the same division as the Yankees and Red Sox. They get a wild card. They win a wild card game, and now they push Houston, the World Series favorite, to 5 games. Now they're up against it based on what Gerrit Cole did the other day, based on really what Gerrit Cole has been for much of this season. Like, last 23 starts, he's 11-0 with an ERA under 2, I believe. Like, he's been awesome. Struck out 15 Tampa Bay hitters over the weekend to get Houston a win there. It was his 10th consecutive start with 10 Ks. He had 33 swing and misses. I mean, he was just really, really operating at a high level, and it's why the Astros are massive favorites tomorrow, even though they're playing a 96-win team, minus 265 on the money line. That's got everything to do with Gerrit Cole and very little to do with anything else. But first things first, NL playoffs, and if you're a baseball fan, it really doesn't get better than this. But even if you're just a sports fan, you know, win or go home situations in sports, whether it's, the NBA, or the nature of a single elimination NCAA basketball tournament, or Stanley Cup playoffs, or in this case, a Major League Baseball playoffs. When you're in a win or go home situation, the drama is pretty, pretty intense. I swear, like, I hate being on radio right now as opposed to just like being able to watch Braves Cardinals, even though it's on right in front of me, even though I'm not a Braves fan or a Cardinals fan. Like, I love baseball. And when you get to, hey, you've played 100 and at this point 66 games, these teams have 162 in the regular season. And then with the Cardinals and Braves, 4 each in the postseason. With the Nationals and Rays, it would be 5 each in the postseason because they had to play a wild card. But for the purposes of the game that's happening right now, Cardinals and Braves, both these teams, division champs, Braves NL East, Cardinals NL Central, they've played 166 games since the season got started. And in about 3 or 4 hours, the season's going to be over for one of them. You better win your 167th game or else you don't get to play another one. And then, like we talked about yesterday, the home teams are favored in these games because they're at home, because they are by definition the better teams. They've got better records. That's why they're playing game 5 at home. But there's nothing crazy about either visitor winning because it's clear in Cardinals Braves that St. Louis has got the preferable starting pitcher in Jack Flaherty. It's not as clear in Nationals Dodgers because Walker Buehler is also awesome, but Steven Strasburg is terrific. Like the type who can go out and win a game 1-0. The type who can go out and win a game 2-1. It's why people were worried about the Nationals getting into the playoffs, like as opposed to some other wild card teams, whether it's the Cubs or the Phillies. Like, the one thing the Nationals and the Mets had in common, if they could get a wild card, is that, yeah, they're flawed in a variety of ways, mostly in the bullpen, but my God, when they can go Jacob deGrom at you, or go Steven Strasburg at you, or go Max Scherzer at you, or go Noah Syndergaard or Marcus Stroman, like, they've got those frontline starters that, you know, when they're on, they're tough to deal with. They can make up for a lot of deficiencies in other places. And so Braves and Dodgers both favor today as home teams, but I won't be surprised if the underdogs win both games. And it should be noted the Cardinals are already up 1-0 in the top of the first. So there's a 1-0 lead for Jack Flaherty, who has been terrific for St. Louis this season. I don't think that'll be enough, But obviously getting Jack Flaherty a lead in the first inning of a deciding game is the way you want to start if you're St. Louis. Subplot down at SunTrust Park in Cumberland, Georgia. Did you hear what the Atlanta Braves are going to do today?
No.
They are going to, quote, reduce the tomahawk chop for Game 5 of this NLDS against the St. Louis Cardinals. And it's a decision that is in response to recent concerns voiced by Cardinals reliever Ryan Helsley, who is a member of the Cherokee Nation. He had expressed his displeasure with the tomahawk chop during games 1 and 2. And to St. Louis, to Atlanta's credit, I guess, certainly the Cardinals have shown they're appreciative of this. They said that they're going to reduce the number of times the tomahawk chop is brought into play in this game, and they will not use any sort of tomahawk, figures on the Jumbotron or anywhere else, or play the beat that creates the chant in the stadium at any point when Ryan Helsley is on the field. He's a relief pitcher. So if he comes in and it's a tie game and the Braves got second and third, one out, and it is very much, from a historical perspective, tomahawk chop time, they will not do the tomahawk chop out of respect for him. What do you make of that, Bennett? Is it the proper thing to do, or PC culture gone too far?
It's tough. We just saw Sunday Night Football with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure.
The whole stadium's going, you obviously have the Washington Redskins. Like, I think it's just one of those things. It's been around for
Seminoles.
Well, you got that. Yeah, it's these teams have been around for so long. I hate being that dude that's like, oh, it's PC culture. But at the same time, I do just kind of think it's one of those things that's been going on for so long. Like, are you really going to make these franchises change what they've been doing for this long and change their names? I don't know.
Well, it is what we do in this country with everything else.
Yeah.
Like, there are words you used to could say that you can't say anymore. Like, when I was a kid, if somebody was acting stupid, you would say, stop being a retard. You would just say that. You would just say that. I mean, your parents might say it to you. I mean,
we talked about the football game that we used to play with all our friends.
Now you cannot call somebody that word. It's totally inappropriate. Like, if my parents heard me, I don't want to speak for my parents, but if my parents heard me when I was 8 years old call my neighbor a, quote, retard, they wouldn't even blink, probably. But if I heard my five-year-old call one of his little buddies a, quote, retard, I'd be like, yo, you can't talk like that. Like, you could talk like that when I was your age, but you can't talk like that anymore. The game we used to always play, running around in our backyard or front yard or side yard, somebody throw a football up in the air, somebody grab it, everybody would try to tackle that person. That game was called Smear the Queer. It's just like this is what we called it.
Yes.
Everybody called it. You can't have a game called Smear the Queer anymore. So if your question is, are we really going to take this thing that people have been doing forever and say you can't do it anymore, the answer is probably yes, because that is what we do with everything.
Yeah.
And I've been in Atlanta for a playoff game when the Mets Braves playoffs. I've been down there. I've been right in the middle of a tomahawk chop.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to a Chiefs game at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah.
I have been right in the middle of a tomahawk chop there. I have been to a Florida State Florida game in Tallahassee. I've been right in the middle of a tomahawk chop there.
Mm-hmm.
And while it would be totally, I'd be totally out of place, out of line, trying to insist what's okay and what isn't when a member of the Cherokee Nation has said that it's disrespectful and inappropriate. Like, who am I to argue with that guy?
That's right.
I can't argue with that guy. How am I supposed to argue with that guy? Any more than, some white hillbilly can argue with an African-American about whether or not it's okay to use the N-word or not. Like, that's none of your business. Once this person or these people say, hey, that is inappropriate, that's disrespectful, you sort of just have to agree, or at the very least just shut up. And I suspect this is very similar. But all of that said, I'm a little conflicted because the tomahawk chop is awesome.
It is really fun.
It's an unbelievable thing. Like, there are these things when you are in a stadium that when they start to happen, you go, oh, wow, this is neat. It's not the wave. The wave is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that happen in stadiums and arenas that when they happen, if you're there, you go, oh, wow, this is a pretty cool deal. You know, the Rock Chalk Jayhawk chant, if you've ever been in Allen Fieldhouse for that, or in Kansas City at a Big 12 tournament for that, or at an NCAA site when Kansas is playing for that, but especially at Allen Fieldhouse, that chant is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's sort of spooky, and it builds, and it's awesome. You find yourself in the middle of that, whether you're a Kansas fan or not, you go, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. I think the tomahawk chop is also one of those things.
Yeah.
And I say this not as a fan of the Chiefs or Florida State or the Atlanta Braves. I just say it as somebody who's been in the stadium when those things have happened, whether it's Tallahassee, Kansas City, or Atlanta, and they get that chant going. And while, again, I can recognize that if a member of the Cherokee Nation says that it's disrespectful and inappropriate, then I'm going to just concede the point and acknowledge that it's inappropriate and disrespectful. But if you could take that, and perhaps you can't, but if you could take that and just set it over here, it's an awesome thing to watch. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be interesting to see exactly how they handle that tonight, although the way this first inning is going, they might not be tomahawk chopping at all, because the Cardinals are already up 4-0 on the Atlanta Braves. When you're up 4-0 and you got Jack Flaherty going,
mm-hmm.
oh, boy.
Like it's, one out, still got runners on second and third.
Like, let's see what the live line is right now on St. Louis, Atlanta, with the Cardinals having a 4-0 lead in the top of the first and their ace, Jack Flaherty, on the mound. The Braves are now at +582 on the money line. You can't even get Cardinals on the live line right now. The best you could get the Cardinals, you could get the Cardinals at -4.5 runs, and they would still be -116. That would be the price to get that done. The Atlanta Braves total for the game is only 3.5. So unless the Braves score more runs than all of the computer projections suggested that they would score off of the St. Louis Cardinals today, specifically off of Jack Flaherty today, well, then the Cardinals are going to advance to the NLCS, and the Braves season is about to be done because, again, the Cardinals have jumped on Atlanta 4-0 down in Cumberland, Georgia, SunTrust Park. If Atlanta's going to face presumably, the Dodgers in the NLCS, they're going to have to really, really get going. And this ain't the type of dude many people have been able to get going again. So either way, maybe this whole tomahawk chop thing won't even be an issue they got to deal with.
Doesn't look like it.
Because when you're down 4-0 in the first, you're fighting an uphill battle. Prediction. The Cardinals will win this game. You'd be crazy not to say that at this point. The Braves will at some point bring the tying run to the plate. I don't know if it'll be bottom of the first, bottom of the third. At some point in this game, the Braves will have the tying run at the plate. Whether they'll capitalize on it, we'll see. But again, Cardinals up 4-0, top of the first, in a game five, an elimination game, to see who advances to the NLCS. I'll keep you updated on Cardinals-Braves as the show unfolds. But when we come back, turn our attention to the NFL. Jason Lockham Ford is a Radio.com NFL insider, my colleague at CBS Sports. What does he make of the disappointment of Baker Mayfield, the disappointment of the Cleveland Browns? Is Tom Brady's career low QBR a real issue that could keep New England from winning the Super Bowl, even though the Patriots are 5-0 right now? And is he a believer in the undefeated San Francisco 49ers? Jason Lockham Ford joins me next.
Radio.com Cash is coming up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Get the code and you could win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Fitz has done it again. They've gone and upgraded, updated, and elaborated, modernized, stylized, and re-energized. Changes like you would not believe. Just getting better and better all the time, y'all. Now, there's still all the same great action on the casino floor, but with a new layout and look. Brighter, more color, it's a better place to play now. New table games and new slots. Can I get an amen here? Oh, and check this out. There's a new store, The Market, where you can use comps or cash. You kidding me? And there are two new restaurants too. Buttruckers with the world's best burgers and bizarre pizza. You build it, they cook it. Hey, if I sound like I'm excited, it's because I am. Man, the Fitz even has more new promotions, new ways to win even more. I'm telling you, you'll have a rocking good time. Or should I say a sham rocking good time? The Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here. Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
The Smile Center is making a move, relocating to a new location and joining forces with Dr. Pat Clark's office. But don't worry, they're moving. They're not changing. You're still going to get the same friendly, outstanding dental care that you're accustomed to. And the Smile Center now going to be able to provide additional services such as sedation dentistry. The move, the Smile Center will be at 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101 in Germantown. Same days and hours, just a new and improved location at the corner of Germantown Road and Farmington, right next to MedPost. As you know, the Smile Center is headlined by Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He's my dentist, he's my wife's dentist, he's my children's dentist, and what makes this place, the Smile Center, great is the fact that the folks in the office take care of you and treat you like family. You never feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you need a dentist, look no further than the Smile Center, which is on the move. The new location at 1941 South Germantown Road. For more information, visit SmileCenterMemphis.com or just call them 901-309-1333.
Going to a big football game? Walking around all day? Then you'll want comfortable shoes. Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Score a touchdown with a new pair of ultra-comfortable running or walking shoes from the New Balance Memphis store. At the New Balance Memphis store, we are the champions when it comes to getting you exactly the right shoes for your needs. Are you into walking or perhaps running? Whatever your style, we'll make sure you get the right shoes with the perfect fit. It's like having a personal trainer for your feet. Come into the New Balance Memphis store and give us a chance to earn your business. We've got the most sizes, the largest selection of widths, and the inspiration to get you moving. We'll make sure you have the perfect fit, and we'll treat you like the starting QB. Our job is to make sure your feet are happy. Visit the New Balance Memphis store, located in the Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway, behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis. Your feet will thank you.
Time for another Action Network Flash. Despite Atlanta's 1-4 start, bettors are backing Dan Quinn's team in Week 6. Over 80% of the money is on Atlanta as a 3-point favorite in Arizona. For all the betting info, download the free Action Network app today.
Divorce can be a difficult process, so don't trust your family and future to one of those national cookie-cutter law firms. If you're getting divorced or want help with custody, adoption, or wills and estates, contact Justin Thomas and the deeply experienced Memphis lawyers of Thomas White & Gill at memphisfamilylaw.com.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the f*** you expect when it got a cape and he's great? Ovens full of cakes that he
John makes. Morant was impressive again last night in the Grizzlies' exhibition win over the New Zealand Breakers. RJ Hampton, not quite as impressive. We'll get into that in the next segment. Then Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he is a Radio.com Sports NFL insider. My colleague at CBA Sports is Jason Lockenfor. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
As always, Insider Calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Jason, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, buddy. How are you?
Everything's perfect. I appreciate you being here. I won't keep you too long. Let's start.
No worries.
With the Cleveland Browns. Some in the preseason were talking like maybe a Super Bowl contender as it is. They're 2-3 coming off of a 31-3 beatdown in San Francisco, obviously struggling. Are you surprised that they're struggling to this extent, that Baker Mayfield is struggling to this extent?
That part, yeah. But I also am not surprised that the offensive line has a lot to do with that, because that was a major issue of concern. And my stance on the Browns in the summer was ton of talent there, could be a 10-win team. I don't know about a Super Bowl contender or a juggernaut like that, but could be a 10-win team, would be in the mix and playing meaningful games in that division in December. But if it didn't get to that level, it wouldn't be because they talk too much or they're on social media too much or their personalities. It would be because they can't stop a legitimate pass rush. And that is the problem. They've got issues at multiple spots on that offensive line. They're significant issues. And Freddie Kitchens, his first time doing all this, I think he's got a lot on his plate, and that's shown us at times too. But, you know, the reality is they weren't going to go 5-0. There are a lot of new pieces there. And, yeah, they're technically, I guess, a game behind the Ravens, but they won in Baltimore. So the moment those two teams are tied again, and at some point in this, you know, the parity-ridden AFC North, except for Cincinnati, they'll probably be tied again. And in that case, the Browns actually have the division lead because they already won, you know, in Baltimore, which could end up being their most meaningful win of the season. So I'm not freaking out or pushing the panic button there. The reality of the AFC North is 8-8 might get it done.
Talking to Jason Lock, Comfort, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider, also an insider for CBS Sports. On Baker specifically, obviously former number one pick in the draft, Heisman Trophy winner, a big personality, big mouth, and it does seem like people, whether it's Richard Sherman for questionable reasons or Bosa for other reasons, it looks like people are anxious not only to beat him and embarrass him, but also then talk about him the way he's talked about others. Has he created a more difficult situation for himself than otherwise would be there because of how many headlines he created in the offseason?
I mean, I think that's just who he is, and yeah. I think that's part of what makes him go. I mean, the week before the Ravens, I live in Baltimore, and all that was coming out of that locker room was, we're so sick of the Browns, we're so sick of Baker Mayfield, and those guys, you know, they haven't won anything, and they're paper champions. And then they came into Baltimore and beat the snot out of them, dominated the second half, and in part, the Browns were fueled by this. Oh, yeah, these guys who are in the division title all the time think we're a bunch of jokers? Okay, well, let's go show them. And they pretty much emasculated him in the second half of that game. So I think it cuts both ways, and I think this is just part of his makeup. And it's not a surprise to the Browns, who did so much homework on him and these other quarterbacks, as to what makes him tick. Now, the more he accomplishes in the NFL, the older he gets, the more he matures, you start having kids, you got other things to do than play on your phone, then maybe it, you know, maybe it does get curtailed some, or maybe he grows out of some of it. But he's always, I mean, like Tom Brady is still mad at the world because he was a sixth-round pick, right?
Right.
This guy is mad at the world because, you know, no one took him seriously in college, and he had to bounce from place to place, right? And he was going to be too small, and then he was going to be, you know, oh, well, nobody wins in Cleveland. And so he perpetually wants to prove people wrong. Like, he's going to be mad at Cliff Kingsbury the rest of his life. Like, that's just, he carries, you know, he carries some of this stuff with him. You know, so I don't think that's why they're 2-3 and maybe not 3-2. They're 2-3 because they lost to Tennessee week one, and Tennessee can get after you with four at times, and they certainly did in that game. And they got destroyed by San Francisco because San Francisco, at times, it didn't even look like they needed four. They could have just sat somebody back in coverage and rushed three and still torn that offensive line to shreds. And the coach isn't adjusting as quickly, and they're not going to as many quicks and bubble screens and little stuff early in the game. They still kind of want to throw it downfield. And you know what? On some of these games against defenses like that, you probably should run 13 personnel, max protect, and throw a little bit of quick stuff to one receiver or your tight ends and live to fight another day.
Talking to Jason Lockenfora, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. He's on Twitter, @JasonLockenfora. On the other side of you know, Cleveland's Monday night embarrassment was San Francisco 49ers improving to 4-0. There's two undefeated teams in the NFL right now. One's the Patriots, not that big of a surprise.
Yeah.
49ers, I think, probably is. How shocked are you that they're sitting here with a zero in the loss column?
I am. I mean, they had a, you know, they have spent that week in Youngstown, Ohio, which they've done in the past when they've played back-to-back games on the East Coast. And they handled that with aplomb. They had an early bye, which sometimes can also then, you know, send you a little bit of a rye, especially if you're undefeated at the bye and you're kind of in some heady terrain, at least for them in recent years. And they obviously came out and kicked the Browns' butt. So, I look, they have an identity. They can get after you with their defensive line. They don't have to activate linebackers and corners and safeties to make your quarterback sweat. And Kyle Shanahan always runs the ball. I mean, his run scheme, his run fits, that outside zone, it doesn't matter who the offensive linemen are. It doesn't matter who the running back is. It doesn't matter who the fullback is. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It works. And Garoppolo now, because of those things, doesn't have to worry about playing up to the contract or having sexy numbers. He's just got to be a fundamentally sound winning quarterback because they have enough other pieces. And he hit a few big plays downfield to couple the speed guys they have there and work the middle of the field with the tight end and let the running game wear out the other team's defense. So, I mean, how is that going to play against the best of the best in the NFL? I'm not so sure. You know, it's a tough division. The Rams and the Seahawks aren't going away, but I don't think San Francisco is going to completely fall apart either.
Like I mentioned, Patriots undefeated, but Tom Brady has a QBR of 62.8. That's the lowest of his career, or at least since that number has been documented. Have you noticed him slipping or starting to look his age at all?
No, I think what they're doing is what I just talked about the Browns doing. They're looking at some of these matchups and the state of their offensive line where they're on their third left tackle since the Super Bowl and their second center. And some weeks they're running a right tackle out at left tackle even though he's got the flu. And they're barely keeping numbers together. And they can't run their heavy packages as much because the fullback's out, you know, probably out for the year. And they lost Gronk. And Ben Watson was suspended 4 weeks, and now they don't even really think he can help that much. And the whole thing happened with Antonio Brown. They have a personnel crisis on offense right now. They can't do a lot of the things they want to do. They don't have enough people that they trust to do them. So they're just max protecting and playing, letting the defense kick people's butt. And the old keep it simple, stupid philosophy. They're not trying to get any style points. They're not trying to show off for the box score, you know, or the fantasy football, you know, aficionados. They're just winning. They're content to win ugly. I mean, even Burkhead, they're not even totally healthy in the run game. I mean, Burkhead's been banged up. You know, Sonny Michel's giving it a go, but I don't think he's 100%. So I just think they're not beating themselves. They're making sure Tom Brady doesn't get his head ripped off. And they're in survival mode now. And we'll see. They'll make a move or two before the trade deadline. They always do. And they'll get their first-round pick and Kiel Harry back at some point, and that should help the downfield pass game a little bit. You know, Edelman should get a little healthier. I mean, he's playing with seriously bruised ribs. They're just gutting it out right now. You haven't seen the best of the Patriots offense yet.
Talking to Jason Lockhamfor, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Insider for CBS Sports on Twitter at Jason Lockhamfor. Just a couple more things. The Redskins now have a head coaching vacancy. Mike Tomlin has been mentioned as a possibility. Mm-hmm. I know he's under contract in Pittsburgh, but still, is that a real thing? Could Mike Tomlin actually be the next coach of the Redskins?
Absolutely. I mean, Don Shula was traded, right? John Gruden was traded. Jim Harbaugh was almost traded to the Browns a few years ago. It absolutely could happen. I mean, it's going to be incumbent on him wanting it, but, you know, Dan Snyder probably gave him, you know, 65 million reasons to think about it, and he'd give him total control of the building the way Joe Gibbs and Mike Shanahan once had it. He'll let Tomlin build that organization in his likeness with unlimited resources, however he sees fit. And, you know, sometimes people are ready for a change. A lot of people in the league found it odd that Tomlin only signed a one-year extension at Pittsburgh, which is basically sort of a fake extension. And the GM, Kevin Colbert, didn't sign his extension at all and said he'd play it out. I mean, Ben's coming back next year, but you don't know exactly what that'll look like. They're not going to win a lot of games this year, and they're certainly short of draft picks the next couple of years through the Devin Bush trade at the draft and through the trade with Miami for the defensive back a couple weeks ago, Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Right.
So he's from this area. He's from Virginia, not far at all from where the Redskins have their training camp in Richmond, went to William & Mary. He's got a son, redshirt freshman at the University of Maryland? I don't know.
A lot there. Talking to Jason Lockham-Fora here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, Dak Prescott started the season incredibly, has cooled off lately. Is that just a byproduct of the competition, or is it something to do with Dak?
Well, I think, look, the more Kellen Moore puts his stuff out on film, their new play caller, the more teams learn. And I think if you look at Dak's history, it's kind of like Kirk Cousins. Like, he will really run it up on teams that are inferior, but when you absolutely need that big play against a top-10 defense, it's often not there. And I think the same for their defense. I think their defense was facing nobody early, and people got a little carried away. I have concerns about the pass rush, you know, and the secondary a little bit. So I didn't pick the Cowboys to go to the playoffs. And my experience in covering this league is the years Jerry Jones thinks they're going to the Super Bowl and they're all in, they tend to not live up to expectations and crumble a little bit because that parade route gets planned a little bit sooner than it should. So we'll see. They've got some tough games ahead. When they play the Eagles, that's obviously a big deal. I'm a bit of a Cowboys skeptic.
That is Jason Lockham-Fora, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Jason, you're the best, man. Terrific stuff. Appreciate you being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, bud.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. Jason Lockham-Fora, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, and my colleague at CBS Sports. When we come back, Ja Morant had more flashes of brilliance last night. RJ Hampton looked like somebody who should be a senior in high school playing against an NBA team. We'll get into that. What happened inside FedEx Forum last night? Next.
Football season is finally here, so you're going to be tailgating on the weekends or attending watch parties or just sitting on your couch taking it all in. And if you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy doing that with a drink. And if you want to drink what I drink, get a bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As you surely know by now, it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it's an awesome vodka that's reasonably priced, which is among the reasons it's the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. The newest is grapefruit, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, and raspberry. And check this out. New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Here's an equation you're really going to like. It all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $800 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until October 27th, you could even get $250 back when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile, each for $30 a month. You'll get Internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a 1-year agreement. And Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigabytes of shared wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/savebig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and auto pay. Internet offer ends 10/27/19. New performance Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply. Mobile savings compares to Verizon and AT&T plans. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
So Laura had a home out in East Memphis. She wanted to sell it, so she did what I've been telling you to do for years. She got in touch with Josh Hysall. He went to work, got 19 showings in a matter of days. He sold Laura's home in East Memphis for the full asking price very quickly. How did he do it? Josh Hysall, he did it with his 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh is able to do this because he's experienced, because he's effective, because he understands how to expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy. He understands how to negotiate for the most money possible. But the first step is Josh simply helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. So you guys will sit down, agree on a price, and then Josh Hysall is going to go to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh Hysall will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick, totally up to you, and it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh Hysall doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him. No questions asked. He's got flexible fees, no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I would call if I wanted to sell my home. It's Josh Hysall, 461-8147. He's on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Tennessee. Welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
It's late, and you accidentally like an old photo of your ex. You unlike it,
oh, no.
But it's no use.
No, no, no.
The internet is faster than your fingers. You couldn't save yourself from the agony of an unintentional ex-like,
oh.
But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Oh.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. While the photo you liked, but actually hate, is becoming your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and the award-winning Geico mobile app.
Nice.
It's funny how a misplaced tap could cause such anguish. Speaking of tapping, your local Geico agent could help you tap into more savings.
Ooh.
You couldn't save yourself from an unintentional ex-like, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Wonderful product. I've lost 111 pounds using that product. 111 pounds. You could not believe the difference. I went from a size 48 pant to a 33 pant, and I've maintained that now for over almost a year now. Yeah, absolutely. Andro 400 has helped me lose 111 pounds, and I've maintained my weight for almost a year now.
Thanks, James, for that inspiring testimony and 111 good reasons to choose Andro 400, the most effective and natural way to lose belly fat, increase libido, gain energy, strength and muscle while safely boosting your testosterone levels. So guys, how many reasons do you need for trying Andro 400? Well, here are two more great reasons. Order now and get free shipping plus an additional $6 off when you use the code SAVE6. That's SAVE6. Call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435, or go to andro400.com, andro400.com.
It doesn't take a focus group to name a Papa John's pizza with five of our best meats. Just take a ginormous bite and blurt out the first thing you think of. Meats! With an S. Meats, plural. Used in a sentence, it would be like, holy cow, that's a lot of meats! Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go enjoy the meats of my labor. Try large meats or works for just $12, only at Papa John's. Not valid with other discounts. Fees and taxes extra. Prices may vary.
In just a few short seconds, Igor, my creation will be alive.
Yes, master.
It's alive. It's alive. Okay, quick, Igor, open the door.
Okay. It's not working.
Igor, get the door open. He's going to destroy the lab. Igor, call Door Pro. I should have gotten monster insurance.
Garage door getting a little creepy? Call Door Pro. Thousands of doors in stock with same-day service available. Call 901-DOOR-PRO. 901-366-7776 or doorproinc.com.
This is happening. I'm sitting at my standing desk, not necessarily looking at celebrity gossip, when Kevin bursts in.
The new homepage module is supposed to go live this month, Deirdre, and the dev team's backed up for weeks.
Kevin's solution is to sweat through his shirt. I hop on Upwork and hire a web dev agency with a flawless success rating, because the new module will be getting done. And thanks to Upwork, this is happening.
Oh, you've got this under control.
Oh, Kevin. As a matter of fact, I do.
Upwork. Hire freelancers. Make things happen.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole.
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, CooperSystems.com. If you're in the market for a computer, high-end, low-end, middle of the road, whatever you're after, give them a call, 360-9679. Talk to Lee or Lauren Cooper. Tell them I said hello, and then tell them what it is you need a computer for. Like if you are, on an e-gaming team, trying to master CSGO, you probably need to spend a few thousand dollars on a gaming computer. That's what you need. But if you're just somebody messing around on YouTube, Facebook, surfing the web like the overwhelming majority of people on this planet, you don't need to go spend that kind of money on a computer. So why would you? You'd be paying a lot of money for a lot of stuff that you're never going to use. It's a waste. Cooper Systems, you don't have to do that. You tell them what it is you're going to do with a computer. They'll be able to find a computer that can do everything you need it to do and not much else. That way you're paying for everything you need it to do and not much else. It's better suited for you. It's going to be better priced for you. That's at Cooper Systems. 360-9679. 360-9679. Mount Moriah Office Park on the web. CooperSystems.com. We played one inning at SunTrust Park in Cumberland, Georgia. And after one inning, St. Louis Cardinals 10, Atlanta Braves nothing. Do you know that's the most runs
I just saw that
that have ever been scored in the first inning of a Major League Baseball playoff game?
You know, I'm trying to think in my head like of like a game that of one of my teams where it just went so bad so quickly at the beginning of the game that there was a pivotal game for, you know, one of my teams, and it to go that bad that quickly in such an important game.
Well, they don't go that bad. I mean, that is
it never happens.
That is it. Well, I was on the other side of this 2015. NLCS, Mets Cubs at Wrigley. And so the Mets had won the first two at Citi Field. And then me and my buddy Mark, who's a Cubs season ticket holder, we went to Wrigley for games 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets won game 3. Jacob DeGrom won that one. So the Mets are up 3-0 in a 7-game series. It's an elimination game, game 4. And the Mets scored 4 runs in the first inning. I think they had. I think Steven Matz was pitching that game, but it was another situation where Daniel Murphy homered early. He had been hot all postseason. But my point is this. You know, for Cubs fans, it was a home game, home playoff game. You're waiting all day for the game. You file into Wrigley. You're still holding on to some hope that, hey, you win this one, and then, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, like it's not unprecedented. And then, boom, it's 4-0 in the first. And you're like, gee. Like, the entire energy of the rest of the game, it just wasn't there. Because it was Mets 4-0 after the first, Mets 6-0 after 2. And Wrigley was just dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's over.
The rest of the night.
Yeah.
Like, for game 3, I almost got beat up in, you know, in the bleachers. Like, not really.
I remember this.
But it was like, it felt not safe.
Right.
And by the time the Mets were up 6-0, in game 4 after 2, like, nobody cared. Like, the Cubs fans were just like, ah, this sucks.
It's
over. Ripped all the energy out of it. And I cannot imagine what it's like for Braves fans right now. You had this incredible year. You go up 2-1 on St. Louis. You can't finish them in St. Louis, but you're coming back home. It's fine. Then they take away your tomahawk chop, and then you go down 10-0. In the first inning. That's a hell of a deal. So what's interesting is I tweeted, like, if I were St. Louis, it's always easier to say what you would do from, you know, behind a microphone than if you were actually in the dugout. What I'd like to think I'd do, pull Jack Flaherty. Like,
yeah.
You got your ace going, but before he even steps on the mound to throw his first pitch of the game, you're up 10-0. Like, why not just take the ball out of his hands,
save him
for game 1 of the NLCS, or, you know, if you got to push him to game 2, push him to game 2, whatever. But why use real pitches in a game where you're up 10-0? Obviously, if, like, you went to your bullpen, like if you pulled your starting pitcher before he threw a pitch, or like you let him go out there and throw one and then pull him, or let him throw one inning and then pull him, if you blow that, you never live it down.
Sure.
But
10-0.
I mean, the other team's got to score. If you never score another run, the other team's got to score 11.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen.
No,
I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, it can happen. It's possible. It's so unlikely. I would be tempted to have pulled Jack Flaherty if I was St. Louis. They did not. He threw a scoreless first inning. Was in some trouble, but still got out of it. So Cardinals 10, Braves nothing. They're in the top of the second down at SunTrust Park. I'll keep you updated on that. But right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
The Grizzlies played the New Zealand Breakers last night inside FedEx Forum. Final score 108-94. Ja Morant matched up against RJ Hampton, and Morant got the better of him. Was good again last night. 20 minutes on the court, so limited minutes, just 2 of 6 from the field. But 10 assists, only 3 turns, and continued to show just flashes of the stuff that makes you think he can be special. As everybody has pointed out, he's played 2 exhibition games so far in a Grizzlies uniform, neither of which have been against NBA competition. So, you know, let's, you know, let's take it for what it is and not make it out to be something it's not. But this is the same franchise that has drafted somebody number two overall before, and it was obvious pretty quickly, oh, no, this looks like it's a mistake. And there has been nothing nothing like that connected with John Morant so far. Hasn't really attempted too many jump shots, so he hasn't answered questions about his ability to be a consistent shot maker. But he has consistently gotten the ball to the rim, consistently gotten the ball into the lane, consistently made defenses collapse, and then found the open man. I think 17 assists through two games in limited minutes so far. So he looks the part. You know, he looks like what you would want him to look like so far. As for R.J. Hampton, that's the reason a lot of NBA scouts were in town, or at least among the reasons, and he was just not very good at all. He also played 20 minutes. But he was 1 of 8 from the field. And though that's less than ideal, if only because, like, you'd like to play well, and that's about as badly as you could play, the truth is he's somebody who should be guarding Kennedy Chandler right now, not John Morant right now. I mean, if he did not reclassify, not only would he not be in college, he would be in high school right now, like seriously playing against players like Kennedy Chandler. And instead you find yourself on a court with like real live NBA players, lottery pick, at least two of them there in Jaren Jackson Jr. and John Morant. I mean, we're talking about two top five picks. So I just think more than anything, he's a young guy, an 18-year-old who was in, you know, a little bit over his head. Certainly not encouraging, but also not the type of thing that was going to get him wiped off of draft boards or anything else. It's just one small piece of a total evaluation that NBA people will do on him between now and the draft. But if you were expecting him to come inside FedEx Forum and look like he's the guy who could have, if he'd have been eligible, been picked second in last year's NBA draft, well, that's not the way he looked at all. He looked like somebody who should be a high school senior playing against somebody who was just picked second in the NBA draft. Again, like I said earlier, probably not the most surprising thing in the world.
Story number two.
A more positive national attention on the way for the University of Memphis men's basketball program. Bennett pointed this out to me earlier. The Memphis basketball Twitter account, the official one, tweeted out pictures of Jay Billis in town on campus with Penny Hardaway working on a piece that will run at a later date. But it's just sort of the latest reminder that Memphis is a big story in college basketball. Memphis is a big story here all the time, when things are going well, when things are not going well. But Memphis is a big story around the country right now in the sport of college basketball because of the top-ranked recruiting class, because of the likely number one pick in the NBA draft, because of the head coach who has an ability to make headlines with his mouth. People are paying attention to Memphis, for better or worse. And, Jay Billis coming to town is just another reminder of that. Another reminder of it is, like, just today I get a random email from somebody who hosts a college basketball podcast asking if I would come on, not to be Gary Parrish, CBS Sports college basketball insider, and talk about Kentucky and Duke and Indiana and whatever. It was, hey, you're in Memphis. You know that program as well as anybody else. I want to talk about Memphis. Can you come on and talk about Memphis? So the Tigers are a big story, and I'm going to have Jay Billis on tomorrow at 4:25. Jay Billis, after spending today with Penny Hardaway, will join me in the first hour of tomorrow's Gary Parrish Show.
Story number three.
Rihanna, 9-time Grammy Award winner, says that she turned down an offer to perform at the Super Bowl earlier this year in Atlanta to show solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. This had been believed to have been true for a while now, but I don't think we'd ever had Rihanna speaking on the record about it. She did an interview with Vogue for a cover story that published today, and she said, quote, when asked about performing at the Super Bowl, I couldn't dare do that. For what? Who gains from that? Not my people. I just couldn't be a sellout. I couldn't be an enabler. There's things within that organization that I do not agree with at all, and I was not about to go and be of service to them in any way. And that seems a little bit of a not so subtle shot at Jay-Z, who I'm sure, if Rihanna holds herself to that standard and would not be involved with the NFL, because she would feel like a sellout. She must feel that Jay-Z is a sellout for the way he's handled his relationship with the NFL, agreeing to be a partner that helps book the Super Bowl halftime show, and he does so without ever talking to Colin Kaepernick in advance about the specific role that Jay-Z now has within the NFL. So Rihanna doesn't take a direct shot at Jay-Z, but you don't have to read between the lines too much to recognize if she thinks she would have been a sellout by partnering with the NFL, given the way the NFL treated Colin Kaepernick, then she must think Jay-Z, who is a mentor to her in many ways, she must think that he is a sellout, which if that is her opinion, it wouldn't be a completely unique opinion to Rihanna in the hip-hop community. There are other hip-hop stars who have, you know, not been enthusiastic about the way Jay-Z handled the situation with the NFL and what Jay-Z is now doing with the NFL. So if you want to read that story, you can go check it out. It's in this month's Vogue, published earlier today.
Story number four.
Bombshell allegation earlier today directed at former Today Show host Matt Lauer. There's a new book by Ronan Farrow, who has been at the forefront of the Me Too movement. The book is called Catch and Kill, which is in reference to an approach that some tabloid magazines, among them the National Enquirer, have allegedly taken as it relates to certain stories, once upon a time stories about President Trump. They would basically be tipped off to a story that could be problematic to a famous person, perhaps like President Trump, and they'll buy the rights to the story. They'll go to the person and buy the story and make it to where it's illegal for that person to talk to anybody else about the story, and then they don't actually run the story. They just kill the story. So it's a catch-and-kill approach, and that's the title of this new book from Ronan Farrow. Anyway, it comes out next week, and among other things in this book, there's an allegation by a woman named Brooke Nevels that she was raped in a Russian hotel room during the Olympics a few years back by former Today Show host Matt Lauer. Now, Matt Lauer, in the spirit of fairness, has said it's simply not true. I had an extramarital affair with Brooke Nevels that started at the Olympics and continued when we got back to New York, but everything that happened between us was consensual. Obviously, Brooke Nevels says that's just not true. I did not consent to what happened to me in Russia. And the reason I didn't consent is because I was too intoxicated to consent. I could not give consent. Therefore, I was raped. It's a classic he said, she said story that'll probably not go much further than where it is right now. But the one thing I thought was interesting, not the one thing, but one of the things I thought was interesting about it is that if you read even Brooke's version of the events, it is that she was a production assistant for NBC News at the Olympics. She was in a lobby having drinks. Matt Lauer showed up. You know, this is totally the way these things happen on the road when, you know, if you travel for a living with, you know, like other TV people. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a hotel bar with other people I work with or other people in my profession. And, like, you know, people show up, somebody leaves, two more people show up, everybody's having drinks. It's sort of that kind of scene at the Olympics, everybody on the road. She ends up in Matt Lauer's hotel room, and she says he then immediately forces himself on her. She did not know what to do. She was violated. And then she acknowledges that they get back to New York, where they both work, and the relationship continued after that in a consensual way. In other words, she claims she was sexually assaulted in Russia, but then did have consensual sex with Matt Lauer after that event when they got back to the United States, specifically New York City. And what's interesting about that is, though I have no idea whether she's telling the truth or not, how would I know? It's very similar to the Antonio Brown, Brittany Taylor situation, what we talked about several weeks back when a Ridgeway High graduate from here in Memphis accused Antonio Brown of raping her, but then also acknowledged, yes, even after that, I continued to work with him. She didn't say she continued to have any sort of relationship, sexual relationship with him, but she said, I continued to work with him. And for some people, that was a massive red flag. They'd go, I just don't see it. You get sexually assaulted by this guy and you still work for him? Nah, that's not the way that would go. That's not what I would do. And the point I tried to make then is that one of the biggest mistakes people make when discussing alleged victims of sexual assault is that you project so much in ways that you can't possibly project. In other words, people look at a situation and they listen to the stories and they go, well, that's not the way I would act or react if that happened to me. Therefore, there's no way that's the way that person would have reacted. And one of the things I told you a few weeks back, I was like, listen, Brittany Taylor may or may not be telling the truth. I don't know. But the fact that she continued to have a relationship with Antonio Brown after he allegedly sexually assaulted her, that's not uncommon. Sexual assault victims.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.